So thank you for joining me in this session about implementing charms in your Windows 8 application. I'm going to start off by introducing myself. So my name is Nico. I'm a developer at Real Dolmen in Belgium. I also run a user group called Madden, the Metro App Developer Network. We focus mainly on everything that was formerly known as Metro, so Windows Phone and Windows 8 development at the moment. You can also contact me through Twitter or email, as shown on the slide here, and my blog is also shown here. So what is on the agenda for today? I'm going to start off by briefly talking about what charms actually are, and then I'm going to tell something about implementing the search, share, and settings charms, and then some takeaways from this session to end the talk with. So what are charms actually? You can see the charms bar here on the right of the slide. It's a bar that pops up when in Windows 8 you move your mouse to the upper right corner of the screen. Or when you're using a touch-enabled device, you can just swipe in from the right. Or on the keyboard, you can just press the Windows C key, and then it will also pop up. Now, what are the charms actually? They are a universal way of doing tasks that are found in a lot of applications. Things like searching in an application or in the operating system itself, sharing data between applications, and settings per application or for your operating system itself. So I'm gonna talk about these three. First, the search, as I've just mentioned. This provides a very universal way. Once the users get used to using these charms, they will expect that searching in an application happens through the charm. The same with sharing. Sharing is kind of a unique feature of the Windows 8 platform, as it allows you to share contents, all kinds of contents, between applications, even between applications that are not developed by the same developer. And then the settings, this can be used for both the operating system settings and your application itself. Okay, so that was a small introduction to what charms are. Next, let's start off by implementing the search contract. So for implementing the search contract, we first need to add a search page to the solution. This is a template that is included in the Windows 8 SDK, and it provides basically everything we need to get started. It has some XAML that is bound already to the view model. The only thing we need to do is implement the search logic. Should we want to, we can add some filters, so that if you have a bunch of search results, they get divided and it's easy to find the one you're looking for. And then we can add search suggestions, either from code, from a folder on your system, or from an OpenSearch API. So let's dive into some code and see how we do this. There we go. Everyone should see my desktop now. So I've built a small application. I'll show it first. What it does, it's actually an application for hotels. So you see the hotel name. They are all just numbers in this case, for the example. You can see the stars they have and how they look. There's a bunch of very different looking hotels here. You can go into the detail page, and that's about it. Really easy, but it's all we need for now. What we can do with the search is we can search for a hotel name, like that, and it gives us the results. These are my search results, and on top here, all and Belgium, those are my filters. You can see here after Belgium it says 0, so it has no search results in Belgium. Let's take a look at how to implement this. So I've said first thing to do is add the search page itself. And that is true here. Add new item. And there should be a search contract item here. I'm just going to add a new one to show the default template. These are all commented out because I already have a search result page in my solution and it has detected that. So this is the place where we need to implement our own search logic. The template can know how to perform its searches. So it provides us with a method that gets the entered query from our user as a parameter. And then it's up to us to do the actual search and to get the results and show them. This is where the filters get added. By default, it's only the all filter. And when there is only one filter available, it won't show the filter list at a result page. And for selecting another filter, we have this method here. So I'm just going to remove this one again because I already have an implementation. So back in the load state method here, I run a query against my data store, which basically just returns a list of hard-coded hotels. In a real case scenario, you would contact your service or your database here. And I'm going to retrieve all hotel names that contain the entered query text. And then I'm going to add them to my result page. Now here for the filter, it says search results pint counts. That's because the second parameter is the number that is shown behind after the filter name, so to show how many results there are. And then in the filter selection changed. First I'm going to retrieve the selected filter by the user. And then I'm going to look at it case per case. If it says Belgium, I'm only going to show the results from Belgium. Pretty easy implementation, but it works. Let me just put a breakpoint here and we'll walk through it. So as you can see, the query text now contains what I've entered. I've got my results, which is 2. I'm creating my filter lists, some properties that are set. The default view model here is some sort of dictionary that is bound to the view, to the XAML. This is done by the template itself. It's really easy to reuse. And should you want to go to an MVVM scenario, it's easy to replace this code. And here we go. If I now set a breakpoint for another filter. So I've selected the Belgium filter now, as you can see here. And now I'm going to take the results that have Belgium as a country, which is 0. And this part will determine that if there are no results for this filter, it's going to show the no results message, which looks like this. A small problem here in the template is that you can't go back to the other filters. They disappear. So that's something you'll have to adjust manually in XAML code. Okay, so implementing the search, pretty easy. Let's go to search suggestions now. There are different ways to do that. I have them here somewhere. Here they are. So I'm going to start off by adding the suggestions from code. So here is my list of countries in the app.xaml. And this is what I need to do to provide the suggestions. So I first get the search pane for the current view, which basically means that I get the search for this application. And then I need to handle the suggestions requested event. This is something that gets that fires whenever your user starts entering a query. And what we need to do is we loop through the list of suggestions that is hard-coded. And this happens here. And whenever we find a suggestion that starts with the entered text, we append it to the query suggestion list. And once it hits 5 items, we break, because we can only show 5 suggestions at once. So let's try that. When I now start entering a country, you can see the suggestions popping up right here. Back to the code. I'm just going to comment this out so that we don't get the code suggestions anymore. The second option that I want to show here is using your known folders. The known folders are folders like my documents, my pictures. I can show the entire list here. So these are all folders that are available on every Windows installation, and you can use the items in that folder as a suggestion list. Other than that, we can also use advanced query syntax to determine what kind of items that we want to use for the suggestions. More information about the syntax is provided at this link. Basically, it's something that was used for Windows Search a while ago, not anymore, I believe. But we can still use it. It's pretty pretty extensive, the things that you can do with this. So it's basically the same as with the code suggestions. We provide the local content settings. We enable them. We add the location, set the filter, and then again the get for current view. And we pass in the settings to the set local content suggestion settings method. That's a long name. And normally, if you run it now, go back to search. And I have an image in that folder that's called screenshot. So this is why I get the suggestion here. I'm going to comment this back out. My screen just flickered for a second. Stream's still okay?
It's okay here.
Okay. Now, probably the most interesting way of adding search suggestions is through OpenSearch. OpenSearch is a sort of protocol that can be implemented by an API. And it's a way of providing suggestions to your application. A lot of open APIs use this. I think Bing and Google use it. Wikipedia uses it. They should all be well documented, and it's pretty easy to use. Comment this out. So what we do is we pass in the URL like this. This is a placeholder for the query that my user will enter. And then I'm going to need to do this async, because a web request takes longer than is permitted by the Windows SDK. So I need to do this asynchronously. What it does is it makes a request to the URL that I've specified up here. And it's going to parse the result into a JSON array. And every value in that array is going to be used for the suggestions. Also, I'm going to need to catch the task cancelled exception, because when my user continues typing, as soon as he enters the first key, my application is going to start asking for suggestions to the API. But as soon as the user hits his second key, that task is going to need to be cancelled, and that's going to start a new one with the two keys together. And then finally, when everything is done successfully, I'm going to mention that it is complete to finish the task. When I search now for, there we go. These are suggestions provided to me from Wikipedia. It obviously has nothing to do with the hotels anymore, but it's just for the example. So the search contract, really easy to implement. The suggestions also really easy and can be pretty handy. Normally, Windows itself takes care of suggesting items that the user has entered before. So there's no need to do anything yourself for that. And next up are the share contracts. Now, sharing is used for sharing information between applications. This can go from text to HTML, links, images, or your own objects even. Now, the sharing, it has two parts. You are either the share source or the share target. And this is actually how the sharing happens. So the source app registers an event handler. That event fires when the user hits the share charm. And then the share broker will provide a list of all applications that are registered to receive this type of content. The user selects the application that he wants, the broker activates the application and passes the content to there. So your source has no clue what application will be started by the user. Now, the target app can report something back to the broker that gets reported back to the source app. Now, for sharing custom data, you can it's best to use the schemas from a website called schema.org, because they provide a universal layout of properties for very common objects. For example, hotels are in there, books are in there, person, address. If you implement your own object from there, it's easier for third-party applications to pick up your sharing or your objects. I'm going to explain it from the codes later on to make it a bit more clear. First, a bit more about this. So, to add, to make your application a source for sharing, you need to prepare the share information. Set a type of information that you want to share. Set the data itself. And on the other side, if you are a target application, you need to add a page just like we did with the search contract. You need to set a declaration in the manifest file. And then you need to interpret the data that you receive from the share contract. Let's see how that works. Now, the sharing is something that can be different per page. I'm going to switch the desktop in the meanwhile. So you can implement another way of sharing per page in your application, should you want. I've done it in the detail page here. Here we go. I'm going to start off by just sharing text. So I'm going to set the text that I want to share. I'm going to set a title and a description. First of all, I need... Okay, we need to set everything first. So I need the data transfer manager for the current view, just like we did with the search page. And then on the data requested event, I'm going to set the text. And that's all there's to it. When I launch my application now, when I choose the share charm here, it says that it can't share because it's not implemented on this page. And I go into the detail page. It provides me with a list of applications that can handle the text sharing. If I now take my email app, there we go, and this is the content that I've set in my code. So sharing text, really easy. Next on the list is sharing a link. So I just provide a link. I can set a title, also a description, which is optional. And then I need to pass in the URI. This is, by the way, which determines the type of sharing. And you see here I've selected set text, here it's set URI. And there's also a set HTML, set bitmap, and set data, which we'll discuss in a minute. Now for sharing links, there's not a lot of applications here. My Persons app will share it on Facebook, and my email is to send it, of course. Now the cool thing here is that it automatically selects an image from the link. Should you not want this image, you can just switch to another one or another one. All images that are contained on the page that I'm sharing. On to sharing HTML. Now for this I've created a small method build HTML. This just builds a table, three columns and two rows in it. And that we need to pass into the HTML format helper, create HTML format. And this will build my string that comes back from this into a usable HTML format. Only email in this case. And there's my table. Now for sharing an image, I just set a title and then I need to create a random access stream from a URI. This URI right here, the ms-appx, this points to my own package, the package of my application. So when I go to my solution, in my assets, here is my hotel.jpg. So this is the one I'm sharing here. Let's run this once again. Not a lot of options here. Puzzle Touch is a game that creates puzzles from any image you want. So this implements the shared target. Or I can upload the image to SkyDrive. It's going to ask me to select a folder. And then it just uploads the image there. Now onto the custom data. For the set data here, I have the schema.org/hotel. Now, any application that that is a target that registers for schema.org/hotel can receive this data. Since this is a standard way of the, this is a standard hotel class, anyone that uses this receives it, knows what it looks like, what properties it has, and can use that data. Should I just use my own hotel class, which I can perfectly do and share, but only my own applications will know what it looks like if I build it exactly the same, and third-party apps won't? Let's say, for example, that I build an application that contains my movie database, all my DVDs that I have at home, and I want to be able to share from the IMDb app. If we don't have the exact same movie class, it just won't work. So this is a great way of making sure that custom data is the same across apps. Also here, you see I'm replacing something. It's way up here. It needs some sort of header. It needs the type again. And then the properties is my my own class serialized into JSON. So this is just a placeholder. And then right here, I replace the placeholder with the serialized class. When I run it, and I select share, it says that I don't have any apps that can receive this kind of content, which is true because I haven't installed any app that receives the hotel class. Now, for I have built a second application here, and all it does when you run it is show a black screen, but it receives the hotel class as a shared target. To get started there, I need to add a declaration to my manifest file. I have to add the shared target, which is in this list. Then I need to specify the data format. I can set HTML, text, URI, or the URL to my schema. Now, for a target application to pick this up, it needs to be installed. Since I haven't deployed this one, it didn't show up in the list. So I'm gonna run it first. There's the black screen. Now it's installed. So if I go back here, go to share, there it is. When I click it, nothing really happens. Because it doesn't really do anything with the content that it receives, but it shows up in the list. Now back to the targets. Once I've set my declaration in my manifest, I need to add a new item again, just like with the search page. Only this time it's the shared target contract. That one has an activate event, or an activate method rather, and this is the one that gets executed when the application starts from the share broker. It receives all the information here, it deserializes it, and then it can set everything to the default view model or to your own view model should you want, and then you're good to go. Now for the third charm, it's the settings contract. The settings charm is the only place that you should set your in-application settings. Things like whether or not your location can be determined, or the language that is used in the application, and so on. What you need to do is you need to handle the comments requested event for the settings pane, and there you need to pass in some comments. These comments will show up as options in the settings page. And then for each comment, you could add a flyout if you're using JavaScript. The XAML version of Windows 8 applications don't have flyouts. Now, luckily for us, there's a toolkit called Callisto. This is a Windows 8 toolkit. It's open source. It's available on GitHub. It's developed by Tim, and its controls include the settings flyout, among many other things. A really helpful toolkit. But this allows us to create the flyouts that JavaScript users have. Now, first of all, let me show you just what I mean with a flyout, in case you don't know it. Need to go to the start screen, settings. This is a flyout. So this is what's missing in XAML and is available in JavaScript. Here we go. So what I need to do is I need to get my settings pane for the current view again, like we did with the search page. And on the comments requested event, I'm going to create one new comment called privacy policy, which is something that you'll need the second your application has an internet connection. And then I'm creating the flyout, which comes from Callisto. Callisto, by the way, is installed through NuGet. Should be available on there. There we go. Here it is. Just click install and it's added to your solution. So I create the flyouts. I set the width. This has two options, wide and narrow. Narrow is just half as wide as the wide one. I set the background. The header can have another color should you want. And there's the title. And you can even set a logo to it. And if you set this to true, then the flyout or the comment will open. And then I need to add my comment that I've built here to my application comments. And now go to settings. Here are my privacy policies. When I click it, there's my flyout. I haven't added any controls to it, so it just shows up blank. Let me quick set it to narrow to show you the difference. It should be about half as wide. What I want you to take away from this is that implementing the charms is a universal way of working with applications. Once Windows 8 hits the street, your users will expect your application to work with those charms. They will expect if your application has search functionality that they can reach it through the search charm. They will expect that you can share information through the shared charm. For example, if you've built a game, your user might want to share his high score with on Twitter or on Facebook. Also, the same for the settings. They are really easy to implement, so there's absolutely no reason at all to not do it. And should you want to use flyouts, there's always Callisto. Flyouts, among other things, there's a lot of things that Callisto can do.